Okay, this is really a pure side topic, but sorry, we just went off the corner. So guys were learning, didn't want to disturb them. But succeeded in disturbing nonetheless. Okay. This is very much a not really related to the Masechta, but it does come up, and it's a topic that has vast relevance on many levels. So it was kedai to just look into the we'll just scratch the surface of it. But we mentioned on the very top of bottom of Vav and Beis, top of Zayin and Aleph, there it was meant to discuss the shear of the Oles Re'iyah, and specifically Aliyah L'Regel in general. So he quoted the opening Mishnah that we know from, the Brisa that we say after Birkas HaTorah, Eilu Dvarim Shein Lahem Shiur, that's really the first Mishnah in Peah. HaPeah, that's why it comes up, because it said the things that have no shear, there's no specific amount as to how much you're supposed to give or do. So what are they? Peah, how much of the corner of your field you're supposed to set aside. Bikurim, how many of the first fruits you have to bring. Rayon, which assumedly at this point means either the amount you pay for the Oles Re'iyah, or how many times you can show up at the Beis HaMikdash. That's why it's mentioned in this Masechta, and this is Gmilas Chasadim, how much Chesed you can do, the Talmud Torah, and how much Torah you can learn. So then we discussed So we say that in reality, Rayon, meaning either how much you spend on the Oles Re'iyah or how many times you go up to the Beis HaMikdash, that has no shear, neither minimal nor maximal. So there's no minimum amount of time, although as we see, there really is, but there's no maximum. But so obviously when it says no minimum shear, it means that you can spend as little money as you want on the Oles Re'iyah. So this lechora would apply to all of the other things on the list as well. So there's basically very minimum shear for any of these mitzvos, and there's no maximum shear as well. So I just wanted to discuss a little bit of the actual shear of Talmud Torah when it comes to how much Torah a person is really actually obligated to learn in terms of time. Not necessarily in terms of amounts, but that's another discussion. But I just wanted to scratch the surface of this particular subject. And I thought it was also good to do during the week of Tisha B'Av, because it's a very important Mishnah in Menachos related to Lechem HaPanim. Again, the Sefta that we're doing probably has a little more to do with Karbanos than you're used to. But it's not really, I wouldn't call it a Kachim Sefta by any stretch. It's not like the technical details like you'll find in Zvachim Menachos, etc. But it does relate a lot to Karbanos, and I think it's just good the week of Tisha B'Av to relate to Karbanos anyway. So this is a different type of Karban that's being discussed in the Mishnah in Meseches Menachos, right? The Karban Mincha that everyone has heard of, even if you know nothing about Menachos, is what kind of Karban Mincha? You might not know it's a Karban Mincha, that's why you might not know you realize it, but you know that you know of it. But what's the most popular Karban Mincha there is? So Todah is not a Karban Mincha, actually. Todah is a Karban Shlamim that's brought in conjunction with a lot of bread. But what's the most popular Karban Mincha there is? It's not a trick question. It's the Lechem HaPanim. The Lechem HaPanim is actually a Karban Mincha as well. And this Mishnah that we're discussing is talking about how they would be Mesader, the Lechem HaPanim. But before we do this Mishnah, and before we get to this actual subject, if you look at the very end of the Masechta, if you turn to the very end of the Masechta, so one second, let me find it. So look on Chavav Amid Beis towards the very middle of the Amid. So there they're discussing, this is based on the Mishnah that says, after everybody would leave the Mikdash, what would they do with the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash? Anybody know? If you know, maybe you know from Mishnayos. What? Yes, they were tovel everything. They would say, Pashtus, everybody who came here was Tameh, and they were Metameh everything, and we're going to tovel all of them, except for perhaps the Shulchan. So that's a discussion in the Mishnah. Okay, so then they talked about why would they need a reason. The Shulchan couldn't become Tameh anyway. There's a whole discussion about that. And then they said maybe because it's a kli to asui lenachas. So it was a wooden kli. Underneath the gold there was wood, and it was made to be kept in one spot, and therefore it's like batel to the ground, and just like you can't be metame the ground, you can't be metame somebody's house, you can't just touch the house and make it tame. It's mechubra lekarka, and therefore can't be metame a kli eitz haasu lenachas either. And then they said, but it's not really true. Because what would they do with the Shulchan during the Shalosh Regal? So it says, Ela Malamed Shemagdian Oso, they would pick it up, Umarin Bo Le'ole Regalim Lechem Haponim. They basically picked up the Shulchan, and they would bring out the Shulchan and show everyone the Lechem Haponim. Ve'omrim Laem Ru'u Chibaschem Lifnei Hamakom. Look how dear you are to Hashem. Siluko kisiduro, because the same way you take it off the Shulchan after sitting out for a week. So that was the same way it was when they put it down on the Shulchan straight out of the oven. So I'm sure you guys, you know, nowadays we don't eat as much bread as perhaps they used to, as more of a staple food back in the day, but still, there's nothing that smells quite as exciting as freshly baked challah or fresh bread. Right, and it's got a great smell. It's got a great texture and taste, and it gets you excited to eat it, and that's what they would show everybody. They would say, and by the way, I don't know what kind of preservatives they had in those days, but if you've ever had bread with no preservatives, it goes bad really quickly. There's one bakery in Key Garden Hills when I was still living there. So they had very good challah, but they didn't use any preservatives. And you had to, like, when you cut the challah Friday night, you had to actually put it in a bag right away. Even, like, leaving it on the table throughout the meal, not in a bag, it would get, the outer piece would get stale. Like, it gets stale within minutes. So you can imagine the nace that a week later, they would put it on, and a week later they would take it off, and it was still hot and fresh and soft. When they would remove it, right, the same way when they put it on, that's how it was when they removed it. Right, lasum lechem chom biyom halakcho. Right, so to put, I don't think I pronounced that correctly, but you would put lasum lechem chom biyom hilakcho. Right, so you would place the hot bread on the day that they took it off. Right, so again, so this is just the nais. If you want to think about a little bit about how the Beis HaMikdash experience was, so this was part of the nais of the Lechem HaPanim. Again, not related to our subject, we're going to mention Lechem HaPanim. Also, one other thing, there was another nais about the Lechem HaPanim, is that any amount that you ate would fill you up. The Gemara says that nais went away after the Kohanim started sinning. That the Lechem HaPanim no longer filled them up miraculously, and it says at that point the frumer Kohanim wouldn't eat from the Lechem HaPanim anymore. They felt like it was something wrong with it, and they didn't want to partake. There was used to be like a long line of Kohanim that would want to take from the Lechem HaPanim, and after the nace went away, the tsnuim, the mission, the Gemara says that tsnuim didn't want to eat from the Lechem HaPanim because they knew there was something wrong with it. Okay, so let's see the Mishnah about the Sidur Lechem HaPanim over here. It's a little bit much in terms of volume, sorry about that, but it's worth seeing inside. So this is Menachos Tzadik Tes Amid Beis. Shnei Shulchanos Hayu Be'ulam, Mibifnim HaPesach HaBayis, Echad Shel Shais, Echad Shel Zav. There are actually two tables. One of them was a marble top table, one of them was the golden table that we call the Shulchan. Al Shel Shais Nosim Lechem HaPanim, B'knisaso V'Al Shel Zav B'Yitziyaso. So what did they use the marble top table for? They used that when they would bring in the new batch of Lechem HaPanim. They would put it down on that table. and they would and then they would take it off from the golden table. Shemal and Bekodesh v'lo maridin, because you want it to first go on the marble, then go on the gold. The echad shel zav mi bifnim she'olav lechem haponim tamid. And then inside there was the actual golden table that, that the lechem haponim would sit on. Va'arba kohanim nichnasim shnayim yadam shnei sudarim shnayim yadam shnei bazichin. Right, so and they would bring in four kohanim, and two of them would be holding two rows of lechem haponim. The other would be holding the those like spoons. You know what it looked like? They had those I don't know how to describe it properly, but kind of like a spoon. Bazichim, they were like spoons that had the lavona inside, and the lavona would sit on the shulchan with the lechem haponim the whole week, and then. In order to be so, none of the lechem haponim, I said it was a carbon mincha, but none of it was burned on the mizbeach. Normally, with a mincha, you take the kmitza and you burn that on the mizbeach. They only burned the lavona on the mizbeach, and then that was matir eating the lechem haponim. So they would bring it in. And there were four other kohanim who would go in front of them. Shnayim litol shnei sedarim, shnayim litol shnei bazichim, and those two were to remove the other two. Hamachnisim omdim mitzafon apneim ledarim, v'amotziim omdim medarim apneim mitzafon. They faced opposite directions. Elu moshtim, elu manichim. One group would remove them as the other one was putting them on. V'tifcho shel zeh k'neged tifcho shel zeh, and they would press their hands together, meaning. The Kohanim who were removing the Lechem Aponim would press their hands against the Kohanim that were putting it on, so that as they were removing it, the new ones were being placed on the Shulchan simultaneously. So why would they do that? Because, where is that? Shenemar, because it says, Lifanai Tamid, that the Lechem Aponim has to be before me constantly, has to be always on the Shulchan.
The Shulchan's never been.
Right, so that well, it says lashon tamid by lechem aponim. It should always be on the shulchan. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, afilu elu notlin veelu manichin. Nah, you could have the same group of kohanim. They could take off the the lechem aponim off the table, and the same. And when they were done, they would put the new batch of lechem aponim on the table. It didn't have to be simultaneous. Afhi hoisa tamid. That's also called tamid. Fine, and then. We'll leave the rest of the mission off for now. You can check it out later. Skip about two lines. Tanya, we have a brisa that says a little bit differently in terms of Shitas Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, afilu silek es hayishana shachris v'sider es hachadasha arvis. Even if they took off the old batch in the morning and then they replaced it in the evening, ein b'kach klum. That's also okay. Meaning Rabbi Yossi is so extreme in his opinion that he says, it's not just that they don't have to do it simultaneously. It's that there can even be hours in between. So that's not exactly how the Mishnah recorded Rabbi Yossi, but the Braisa records a different version of Rabbi Yossi, that it can even be hours in between, no problem. Elamani Mekayim Lefanai Tamid. What does it mean that it has to be constantly in front of Hashem, that the Lechem Aponim has to always be on the table? Shelo Yalin Shulchan Belo Lechem. It can't go overnight without any Lechem Aponim on top of it. Okay, so that is all background for the topic that we wanted to discuss in terms of Talmud Torah. That was the background that the Gemara Menachos, you know, this Gemara Menachos is known as, people say, oh yeah, this Gemara, it's Menachos Tzadik Tes. Nobody knows what it has to do with Maseches Menachos, they just know it's a Gemara Menachos. But this is what it has to do with it. It's based on this machlokes of how frequently, or not how frequently, how constantly the Lechem Aponim had to be on the Shulchan. So Amar Rav Ami, Midvar Shor Rabbi Yossi Nilmad, Afilu Lo Shana Adam El Perik Echad Shachris Perik Echad Arvis Kiyeh Mitzvah Slo Yomush Sefer HaTorah Ezemi Pichas. I mentioned this Gemara a few weeks ago, Mashir. But so he said, even if a person only learns one Perik in the morning and one Perik in the evening, he has officially fulfilled the words of the pasuk Lo Yomush Sefer HaTorah Ezemi Pichas. Right, that you should not let these words of Torah leave your mouth. Amr Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Shim Ben Yochai, and then Rabbi Yochanan quotes Shim Ben Yochai a similar idea. Afilu lo kara adam ela kriya shma shachris va'arvis kiyem lo yamush. That even if a person all he reads, I don't think that's right. Here, even if a person only reads Kriya Shema in the morning and Kriya Shema in the evening, he has fulfilled the mitzvah of lo yamush, not letting the Torah leave your mouth. Right? So what are we talking about over here? Basically, Rabbi Yossi is saying that the concept of tmidius, the concept of constancy when it comes to lechem aponim, means that it can't go a whole day without it. So too, when it says in Sefer Yahushua, lo yamush Sefer HaTorah zemi picha, v'hagisa bo yamam v'loyla, so you're supposed to not let the words of the Torah leave your mouth, which sounds like at all. And then it says you're supposed to study it day and night. So that just means like Kriya Shema in the morning and Kriya Shema in the evening, according to Rabbi Yossi. So it sounds like that would be a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. The Tanakama / Chachamim in the Mishnah say that lechem aponim fanai tamid means it has to be constantly in front of me. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, no, just it shouldn't go a whole day without not having lechem aponim. Shouldn't go overnight without it. Right? And then the Chachamim say, no, it has to be there all the time. So you would think that, okay, so the Chachamim would translate the Pasuk as you have to learn constantly. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, you learn a tiny bit in the morning, you learn a tiny bit at night, that's also good enough. So that's the Shita of Rav Shimon ben Yochai as well. It's quoted by Rabbi Yochanan. That is the opinion that we see so far. The Rav Amar, also before we get to that, and then he says, V'davar zeh asu la'omra b'fnei an ha'aretz. You're not allowed to tell this to the Amei Aretz. You're not allowed to tell this to a people who don't study Torah. You're not allowed to tell them that they're Yotze b'di'evid with Kriya Shema Shachris to the Arabs. The Rav Amar, mitzvah la'omra b'fnei Amei Aretz. And Rabbi says, no, just the opposite. It's a mitzvah to tell it to Amei Ha'aretz. And the machlokas is obvious that according to Rabbi Yochanan, they're afraid if Amei Aretz hear that they're Yotzei Talmud Torah, V'giyasubo Yom V'Laila, with Kriya Shema Shachris V'Aretz, they'll never learn anything. They'll just say, it was Yotzei already. And Rabbi says, no, just the opposite, because you're going to, if you don't tell them that you're Yotzei with that, then they're going to hold, I have no chelik in Torah. I never learn anything, so why should I feel a shaykhus to limud Torah? So you tell him, no, you're Yotzei v'gizei b'yom v'layla every single day. Say Kriya Shema in the morning, say Kriya Shema at night, so you shouldn't feel that you're so far away from learning. So that's the machlokas over here, Rava versus Rabbi Yochanan. Then just go a little further here. Shah ben Dama ben Achoso shal Rabbi Yishmael as Rabbi Yishmael. So this ben Dama, who was Rabbi Yishmael's nephew, asked his uncle Rabbi Yishmael, Kigon ani shelamadati kol haTorah kula. So, somebody like me who I've learned the entire Torah. Ma'ul nilmod chachmi yavanis. Am I allowed to learn Greek wisdom? So kara alech alav hamikra hazeh. He quoted this pasuk. Lo yamoy sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha ve'gisa b'yom v'leila. Says it's the words of Torah never supposed to leave your mouth. And you should learn them day and night. Say uvedok. So go out and find a time that is neither day nor night, and you can spend all that time learning Chachmi Yavanis. So this is the anti-Torah Madagamon. That's the he said it's you can learn all the Chachmi Yavanis you want as long as it's not during the day nor during the night. So plege the Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani. This whole sheet is arguing Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani. Dam Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani. I'm Rabbi Yonah's son. Pasuk zeh eino lo chova velo mitzvah. This pasuk of v'gisa v'yom v'layla is not an obligation and it's not even a mitzvah. Ella bracha, it's a blessing. Ra kodesh baruch hu es Yoshua shedivrei Torah chavivim alav b'yoser. Hashem saw how much Yoshua loved Torah. Shenemar v'mishar so Yoshua bin Nun lo yamash mitocha ohel. As it says in Parshas, I think it's, what is it, Parshas B'shalach. No. Parshas Kisisa. Kisisa, yeah. So it says in Parshas Kisisa that Yoshua never left the tent. Amar lo, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yoshua, kol kach chavim an alecha divrei Torah, lo yamash sefer haTorah zeh mipicha. You love Torah so much, I'm going to give you a bracha that these words should never leave your mouth. So here we have an interesting machlokes, it seems, between on one hand Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who says that you can be Yotzei Megisa Bo Yom Balayla with Kriya Shema Shachris and Arvis, and Rabbi Yishmael who says that no, you have to learn constantly. So what's interesting, I didn't give you the other Gemara, but the more famous version of this machlokes is the reverse. You know what I'm talking about? There's a very famous machlokes in Maseches Brachos, I think on Daf Lamed Hayam and Beis, So between Rabbi Yishmael, who says that, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai in the opposite direction, that the what? Right. So because they're dealing with a stira and the psukim. On one end it says lo yamu sefer Torah zemi pichal v'agisa v'yamu v'layla. On the other end it says v'yasafta deganecha. So you're supposed to go out in the field and work. And it also says don't ever stop learning. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, yeah, that means that if you, it's either or. If you are zoche, then you'll never stop learning. And if you're not zoche, then you'll work. And he says, and you won't just work for yourself. You're going to have to work for everybody. You're going to have to work for other people and do their work for them. And Rabbi Shmuel says, no, it's a combination. You're supposed to work when it's time to work. You're supposed to learn when it's time to learn. So you're supposed to, and the Lashon is, ha'neig bahen, minog derech eretz. Right? You're supposed to be noeg. When, generally speaking, when Chazal say the words derech eretz, they mean a profession. Right? So, for example, we have the Mishnah in Perkei Avos, yafe talmud Torah in derech eretz. So it's good to combine learning Torah with a profession. So that's usually, when we say derech eretz nowadays, we mean midos tovos, like acting nicely or properly. But in the Mishnayos and the Gemara, it usually means profession. So here it sounds like the opposite. Rabbi Yishmael is the one that tells him you can't do anything besides learn. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is saying, yeah, but the Eved, you can just be Yotze with Shachris and Arvus, same one parakah, you know, three parshas of Kriya Shema, you're good to go. So it's all right. How you deal with the steer exactly, we're not going to answer that directly, but I think we'll try to deal with that somewhat indirectly. But for what comes from the Gemara Menachos is that there is a concept of the shear of Talmud Torah, which is Vehigisa Bo Yomam Volayla. Something must be done during the day, something must be done during the night. What follows in between is the machlokas between Rabbi, what follows is the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Yishmael, how much learning you're supposed to do in addition to Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvus. So that's the basic outline of this Gemara. There's another Gemara which discusses briefly the shear, which is in Maseches Nedarim. What's it doing in Maseches Nedarim? Because it's talking about taking a shvua or a neder, in this case it's really a shvua, on something that you're already obligated to do minat Torah. So it says, V'amar Rav Gidol Amarav HaOmer, if a person says, Ashkim V'eshne Perek Zeh, Eshne Masech Tezu. Let's say somebody went to the Siyam, right? I have a lot of Siyam. I didn't go to the Siyam last night, but they had a Siyam today. And I don't know, who made the Siyam by you?
Jackie.
Right, so you say, oh, if Jackie can do it, then I can do it. Come on. Right? So then you say, all right, I'm going to take a neder right now that I'm going to make a Siyam by such and such a time. I'm going to finish, what do you do, Tainus? Right, so I'm going to do a Mesechus Tainus also. So that's the, so you make the same commitment. So is that binding? So on one hand, you already have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Can you take a shvua on something which is already a mitzvah? That's the Gemara's discussion. Right? So the Gemara says, yeah, neder God al nader l'elokei Yisrael. This is considered a great neder to God. V'halo mujba v'omed hu, v'ein shvua chala al shvua. So he said, yeah, but we have a rule when it comes to taking a shvua that mushbo'en va'omdin me har Sinai. We already took a shvua at Har Sinai that we're going to keep the mitzvos, and therefore you can't take a shvua on top of another shvua. So we shouldn't be able to, the shvua that a person takes, I'm going to learn this masechta, or I'm going to wake up every day at 7 a.m. to learn, that shvua should not be chal, because you already have a shvua that you're going to learn Torah. So Gemara says, not my kamash malan, da'afilu zeruze ba'alma, that even if you're just taking a neder to be mezarez yourself, meaning maybe I would have learned, yeah, but I want to solidify the fact that I'm going to come and learn, and therefore I'm taking a neder that I'm taking a shvua that I have to do it. So Gemara says, Hayne Rav Gidol Kamaisa. Okay, so I didn't give you that previous line in the Gemara, but Rav Gidol already said that before, that you can take a shvua to be mezarez yourself to do the mitzvah better. So Hakamash Malan came and the boy Potar Nafshe Bekriyash Mashachus VaArvus Mishumachi Chal Shvua Alei. Since b'di'evet he could have just been yotze with Kriyashma, so therefore the Shvua takes effect. Meaning, technically it seems the minimum shear of learning Torah is Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis, and therefore there is what for the Shavua to be Chalon. Meaning, if I swear I'm going to learn a Masechta, there's no actual obligation to learn that Masechta. There's just an obligation to do a minimal amount of learning. And therefore, if I take the Shavua, I'm going to learn Masechus Chagiga, I'm going to learn Masechus Makas, whatever it is, then I'm officially taking a real Shavua, because I could go my whole life and never learn Masechus Makas. I could be Yotze Kriya Shema Shel Shachris Shel Arvis. I'll only learn those parshas in the Torah, and that's it. So it seems from this Gemara Nedarim that we paskin like Shitas Rabbi Shimon, that b'di'eved your Yotze with Shachris and Arvis. That's the minimum amount of Talmud Torah, and that's why the Shavua takes effect, because you want to be mezaris yourself to learn more than that. So therefore, you take a Shavua, I'm going to learn whatever Masechta, I'm going to learn Daf Yomi, whatever it is. Yeah.
But according to Rabbi Yishmael, the person would make that, would take that neder, that he's going to learn something, he's going to learn kindness. That neder does not take effect because he's obligated anyway to learn kindness?
It would seem so. It would seem that if the actual obligation, well, it doesn't. So if he took a neder that he's going to learn during a particular time, that probably would not take effect because technically he's chayav to learn that entire time, according to Rabbi Shmuel. If he took a neder that he's going to learn a particular mesechta, maybe that would take effect. Because Rabbi Shmuel never said you have to learn this mesechta versus a different one. Maybe you just want to learn one mesechta over and over and over and over again, right? It says a mesechta's chagiga. You got to learn 101 times. So then you're gonna just review it 101 times. So it takes a while, right? I imagine by like times 75, it's quicker, right? There's a, you know that Maisa that there was with the Vilna Gaon. You ever heard that story about the 101 times? So there's a story about the Vilna Gaon where he says that he had a childhood friend who he met many years later. A childhood friend was a Shein of Talmud Chacham, but he wasn't the Vilna Gaon because there was only one person who was the Vilna Gaon. So they were pretty much equal when they were in yeshiva together. And he said to the Gra, like, what happened to you that all of a sudden you became you and I became me? So he said, you remember when we were learning Maseches Chagiga and we got to the Gemara which says, Eino Doma Misha Shona Pirka Mehev Echad Pahamim? So he says, you remember the Gemara that says that you can't compare someone who learns it 100 times with someone who learns it 101 times? So he said, yeah. So he says, and did you believe it when you read that? You believed the Gemara? He's like, of course I believed it. The Gemara says so. You believe what it says in the Gemara. So the Gemara said to him, well, I didn't believe it. So I tried it. So I said, and it's true. So he says, that's how I started. He says, I didn't believe what the Gemara said. So I was chazer 101 times. See how it will work out for me. So, okay. So anyway, So it doesn't seem that it's clear that you have to cover certain material from anything we've seen thus far. But nevertheless, we'll see one more source related to this. And that's the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Amid Aleph. And there's some Gemaras about Talmud Torah here as well, more surrounding the father's chiyuv to teach his son Torah. You guys do this Gemara in Kiddushin? What? You guys do it in 12th grade? No? Okay, I don't know. This Gemara, it's not on Daf Lamed Amid Aleph, on Chaf Tes Amid Beis, the story with the seven-headed demon?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, right, so what happened over there? So the father, the son wasn't learning well, so the father said, all right, I'm coming to yeshiva instead. You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, I don't
so,
remember.
You don't remember the story. All right, so then I won't, but the follow-up story that I was going to tell you won't make sense. Okay, forget it. So I'll tell you later. So the Gemara in Kiddushin says Tanu Rabbanan Vishinantam. So it says Vishinantam Levanecha. So it already said Limadetem, right? Osam Espenechem. Now what does Vishinantam mean? Lishane. So it says Sheyu Divrei Torah Mechudadim Beficha. That the words of Torah should be sharp in your mouths, meaning. Vishinanta means to teach it over or to review it in such a way that you know it very well. So, she'im yishal l'cha adam davar, that if someone would ask you a question on what you're learning, al tegam gim v'tomer lo. Don't fumble and tell it to him. Ela emor lo miyad. Rather, answer him immediately. Shenemar. What's the rest of the? I got lazy because it goes over to Daf Lamed on the page. I didn't want to put that on the page. So what's the rest of the page? Quotes the pasuk. Emor lechachma achosiat. Right. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. Right. So what does that mean? So Rashi explains. It means that just like it's very obvious to anyone that your sister is usher to you, you don't marry your sister. So too, that all the other halachas of the Torah should be equally obvious. So here we see an idea that a person is obligated to actually know his stuff. That a person should not just learn Torah and spend time, but they should also accomplish in learning in terms of knowing what they learn and knowing the Torah. Okay, so this with this background, we can see a couple of ideas in the Rishonim. So the first thing I want to see is in the Ran, in the Gemara Nedarim that we saw. So the Ran, I'm not going to read it inside in its entirety, but the Ran basically says that he starts off with the words mistabra li. It is logical to me that you don't take this Gemara literally. What did the Gemara say again? That if you take a shvua that you're going to learn such and such, then it still takes effect, because b'di'evet, if you would just learn Kriya Shema Shalom, that's enough. So he's like, that's not really enough. He says, because we learned the Gemara in Kiddushin, you're not going to know very much just saying Kriya Shema. So he says, yeah, there is obviously a chiyuv of Yediyas HaTorah, and so he says, there's obviously more to accomplish than just Kriya Shema, Shacharis, and Arvus. So he says, what are we talking about over here? So he says, the idea is that you can take a shvua on something that's not mefurish bekra, meaning that if it says it black on white in the words of the psukim, then a shvua doesn't take effect on it. But if it's just implied by the psukim, it's still doraisa, but it's not explicit, then a shvua will take effect on it. So says the Ran, the obligation to know your stuff in learning, that's not explicit in the Torah. And therefore, you can take a shvua on that, even though it's doraisa as well. V'gisa v'yomim v'layla. So that's explicit that you have to learn something in the morning, something at night. So the shvua wouldn't take effect on that. But if you say, I'm going to learn this mesechta, that topic, whatever it is, so yes, it's also a chiyav doraisa to know that mesechta. It's also a chiyav doraisa to know that topic, but it's not mefurish in the Torah. It's darshan from mishinantam l'venecha, and therefore, since it's not explicit, a shvua will take effect on it. Yeah?
The shvua becomes more binding the less closer it is to
the Torah? The less obvious it is in the Torah. Right. Meaning, once it says it in the Torah explicitly, then we have a concept called Mushboin Ba'omdin Mehar Sinai. We already took a Shavua to do that. So, and this, by the way, fits in really nicely with a Medrash Tanchuma. Medrash Tanchuma says by the Gemara in Shabbos that it says that Kafu Aleinu Sahar Kigigis, right? Hashem forced us to accept the Torah. So, it's like, what do you mean Hashem forced us to accept the Torah? That ruins everybody's kindergarten education. Why? Because the big triumph of the Jewish people was Nasa v'Nishma. We agreed to accept the Torah. What are you talking about? You had to force us into it. So the Medrash Tanchuma says, no, we said Nasa v'Nishma on the Torah Shebichsav. Right. But we didn't say Nasa v'Nishma on the Torah Shebal Peh. So I don't know, this is a Tanakh. This is a pretty big one for a Tanakh. I mean, it's not big in this way, but it's very thick, right? But even so, like someone says, you want Torah Shebichsav? So like, well, it fits in one hand, you know. Okay, I'll take it. You know, and this is with English probably. Yeah, and with English. Okay, so it's only half as thick. So that's not so intimidating. But then they point to the whole, you know, the whole base medrash, bookshelves, everything. Like, you want that? Oh, that's, I didn't agree to that. So it's interesting. It fits in very nicely. The concept of mushboin ba'omdin mehar Sinai. What did we take a shvua about? We took a shvua about that which was explicit in the Torah. We didn't necessarily take a shvua about all of the drushes, and even though those drushes might be doraisa, but that's not what we agreed to. That's something additional after the fact. So, okay. Either way, that's the shita of the Ran. So the Ran is saying, yes, you have to know Kol Torah Kula, but it's not explicit, and that's why Shavua takes effect on it. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah discusses the obligation of Talmud Torah as well. And he says, Kol ish mi Yisrael chaye b'Talmud Torah, bein ani bein ashir, bein shalim begufo, bein bal yisurim, bein bachur, bein shal yazakim gadol, shetoshas kocho. He says, no matter what your life situation is, you are chayev in Talmud Torah. That's based on the Gemara, right? Hillel was mechayev all the poor people to learn, right, etc. They go through all the different, right? You're not going to be more busy than Yosef Batzadik was when he was running Mitzrayim, and he still had a chayev to learn Torah. Everybody has a chayev to learn Torah no matter what. And that's what the Rambam is alluding to over here as well. Even if you're a very poor person taking tzedakah and going door to door, even a person who's married with children, right? I don't know why that's officially more difficult to deal with than everything else, but so he says you're still chayiv to set aside time to learn Torah by yom uvalayla. So the Rambam says you're still obligated to set aside time for learning no matter what your life situation, but specifically the idea is likboa lozman l'talmud Torah, to set aside time for learning both by day and by night. That seems to be the shear that the Rambam is willing to tell us, but it doesn't tell us exactly what the amount of time should be. So we're not going to read this inside, it's getting late. But your Sameach here on the Rambam, it's very worth reading. I didn't give you the whole piece, but it's a pretty long piece. But the, yeah.
He says that for like day and night, he's going to be like literally in the morning.
No, the Rambam, later, elsewhere, he gives you his schedule for the day. He goes crazy. He says, every person has to work for a living. You're not allowed to take tzedakah money. You ever see that, Rambam? If you ever get a trivia question, who does the Rambam speak most harshly about in the entire Mishnah Torah? It's a person who learns Torah and supports himself on tzedakah. He says every person has to support himself to the best of his ability, and he's not allowed to have a cheshbon that he's gonna take tzedakah money. So then he goes through. Okay, so what's your schedule be? He says you go to work for 3 hours and then you learn for 9 hours. So that's the Rambam's version of the average balabas, I guess. I don't know. Very interesting. The Rambam didn't do either of those. The Rambam, when he was younger, he actually had a brother who supported him. When he was writing the Mishnah Torah, he was able to basically sit and learn the whole time for years at a time, undisturbed. And then his brother died drowned, and he was overseas. He was on a business trip and he drowned, and the Rambam had to start working as a doctor, and eventually he became the physician to the Sultan. I don't think he was only working 3 hours a day at that point. So I think some of his life he was learning the whole day, and some of his life he was working a lot of the day. I don't know. And so, not sure. He never actually got to fulfill his own writings. But nevertheless, the Rambam feels that people should work, but they should spend a lot more time learning than working. So, and nevertheless, it doesn't play out that way in today's society. But the Or Sameach is discussing each individual's chiyuv of Talmud Torah, and specifically, he says, I'll just read you some of the underlines. It says, "V'nira li levayr de be'emes kol ha-mitzvos heima shavim." All the most mitzvahs in the Torah are equal to everybody. Lepachos shebepchusim ulemosher rabbeinu olav hashem. Doesn't matter whether you're the lowest of the low or you're Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah achas yelam ksiv. It says in the Torah, it's one Torah for everybody. So when it says to take dalet minim, every Jew has to take dalet minim no matter what. You could be the biggest Talmud Chacham, or you could be the Gadol Hador, or you could be the Katan Hador. It doesn't matter. You have to take the same lulav and esrog that everybody else has to take. So he says, but when it comes to Talmud Torah, I'll just flip it over. He says, "V'nimtzis mitzvahs Talmud Torah shebevada im yevakesh adam teref umazon v'cholzos ino nechshav l'mafriya mitzvahs Talmud Torah v'yasafta deganecha ksiv v'chein l'mashal adam cholush hamezeg kol echad lefi echreichius shelefi hergelo v'chein lefi toar nasho shel adam. He says every person, depending on how much he has to make a living, depending on how much he has, how much fortitude he has, and not only that, but how much cheshek we would say he has. You know, when a person, the purity of a person's soul. Ki eino dome b'chi of Talmud Torah, ha'ish asher nafsho margeshes b'sichla hazach v'nikshira b'avosos av ala Talmud Torah, li'ish asher kochos nafsho nir b'matzelim. You can't compare a person who's on fire with a desire to accomplish and learning versus a person who's he's lazy, doesn't want to learn anything. So it's the amazing thing that the Rosh says, which is different than what a lot of other Achronim will say. Many Achronim have the same idea as the Rosh Hashanah. You can find this idea kind of in Rebbe Chana Wasserman, in the Kovetz Ha'aretz. You can find it in the Stipler and in the Kilos Yaakov on Brachos and on Shabbos. But the one aspect that the Rosh Hashanah adds in, which you won't find in any other Achronim, is this idea of Cheshek as well. Everybody writes that basically the Chiyuv of Talmud Torah is not really equaled for everybody. The Chiyuv of Talmud Torah is based on a person's ability to learn. So you have some people, they work a certain type of job where they're busy constantly. So they have to steal a little bit of time for learning here, a little bit of time for learning there. So they're not going to be able to learn as much as a person who has a lot of free time. So basically the idea that most Achronim have is that there's no time where you are absolutely chayev to learn. The nature of the Chiyuv is that when you're able to learn, that's when you have to learn. But what the Or Sameach throws in there, he says, it's not just totally in your ability, it's also totally in your cheshek, your desire to accomplish and learn. So that you have certain people that they have a tremendous desire to grow in learning. You have some people, you know, they're willing to tread water or sink, right? So the people who are willing to tread water, they have less of a chiyuv to learn Torah versus a person who wants to accomplish. He has a greater chiyuv to learn Torah, which is really a very big chiddush. So, and that's why, says the Rasamech, that's why the Chachamim gave the minimal shir. He says, the minimal shir is Kriya Shema Shachar Shel Arbis. You have no free time whatsoever. You're the most busy, you're the CEO of the universe, and you everything in the world will fall apart if you're not working constantly. So you have no time to learn. So for you, b'di'evet, on any given day, you have to be yotze with Shachar and Arbis. Whereas you have another person, he works a few hours a day. He's able to put in a lot of time to learn. So that guy has an obligation to learn a lot. Yeah. Yeah, it seems like he's saying that there are certain people, they have much less of a cheshek to learn. A guy sits down to learn for an hour and he's like, whew, all right, I need a 3-hour break now. You know, I learned for 1 hour, which is great, and now I need a 3-hour break. I can't handle it. So, it's like everything else. So it's like everything else in life. There are people who, they go to work at their regular job, and they do a little bit of work, and all right, now it's time for a break. They go over to the coffee machine, they go over to the water cooler, they go post on their blog, they check their Facebook, they check their, they send out a few tweets, whatever it is, and then, all right, now back to work. So those guys are, they're going to get fired? They're not going to get fired. They're officially workers, right? It's kedai. Go on social media, see what time everything gets posted. You know, it's all during the workday. There's plenty of people, they go, meaning there are people who work crazy hours. They're not always working during those hours. But like a lot of it, there are a lot of businesses that are client-based businesses. You don't have a choice. You can't pick your own hours. When the client's ready, you have to be ready to go. So you have a guy who's closing a business deal in Japan. So he's got to be on Japanese time. So sometimes he's at the office till 3 a.m, but he goes to the Ranger game in the middle because he knows that the client's not going to be ready until 12 o'clock at night. So he's in his office in Manhattan. He goes to the Ranger game. He comes back, and then he gets a call 2 hours later from the client. You know, so whatever. It's not that you're not constantly working. So it's like that in Torah also. You have people that they're in the Beis Midrash till 2 a.m, but that's with a 4-hour nap in the afternoon. So it depends on the guy. You know? So it's, but the bottom line is that the same way the guy who puts in the hard work will get the promotion at work. So the guy who puts the hard work in learning and he builds his cheshek. There are very few people in the world who are such tohar elev that they're born with such a cheshek for learning. You build your cheshek the same way. If you want to accomplish, the better you get, the easier it becomes to accomplish. And, you know, and that you'll be the guy who gets the promotion. So the same way, you know, same way at work you get the promotion, so too in learning you get the promotion. So anyway, that's the Chiddush Yor Sameach, but basically what he's saying is that the way Torah works is that you're only chayef to learn during your free time. And this is how many understand the idea of the Gemara in Moed Katan. I'm not going to read it inside right now, but the Gemara in Moed Katan says that when it comes to Osik B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah, so if I'm doing Mitzvah A and Mitzvah B comes along, the halacha is I don't have to stop doing Mitzvah A, even if Mitzvah B is more important. Right? Let's say I'm taking out the garbage. My mom asked me to take out the garbage. Now, I'm not rating the mitzvahs over here. But probably keep it up aim is more important than davening mincha. But not probably, it is. But so your mom tells you, take out the garbage. So you say, Mom, I want to go to mincha. No, take out the garbage now. If not, you're not my son. I hate you. Whatever. Okay, fine. So you take out the garbage. So now you miss mincha. Were you chayev to daven mincha? Are you considered delinquent to daven mincha? No, you're also doing mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. So you started doing mitzvah A at the exact same time, at the exact time when mitzvah B came along. Osik mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. So says the Gemara, that does not apply to Talmud Torah. That's a good question. We'll try to, maybe, hopefully we'll get there before the end of the summer. So, tashlumin in certain circumstances. Yeah, so that's on the pasuk Meuvos lo yuchal liskon v'chisaron lo yuchal imanos. So that's I wanted to say that tashlum and shir on that. But when it comes to Talmud Torah, you're not allowed to say I'm not going to daven mincha right now because I'm learning, or I'm not going to help my mother take out the garbage because I'm learning. So that's not the way it works. And the Rambam spells it out by saying that any mitzvah that's Yachol eskayim leidei acherim, if someone else could do the mitzvah for you, then you continue learning. But if no one else is going to do the mitzvah, and if you stop learning, it'll get done, and if you don't stop learning, it won't get done, then you have to stop learning and do the mitzvah. Which is contrary to the concept of losing the mitzvah, part of the mitzvah. Yeah. Right. Right. So there's more of a question of what's more important. Right? Here we're not talking in terms of importance. I'm willing to say, that everyone would agree that Talmud Torah is more important than all these mitzvahs. But, somewhat counterintuitively, you stop learning to do all these mitzvahs, which are less important. So that's weird. Why would you would think Kol Shekein Talmud Torah, that I shouldn't do any of the other mitzvahs because I'm learning. So there are many approaches to explain this idea, but just based on the Rosh Sameach, you have a very simple way to understand it. Yeah?
I mean, suggest a different answer.
Okay.
That since you're only chayev to do the bare minimum, which is finish the morning, finish the night, everything else, the king is just the kiyum, not even to omit this, not even to omit it, but so therefore you're
along the same lines. Along the same lines, I was going to say, based on the Sameach, and this is how the Stipler says it, that when it comes to the idea of Osik B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah, the reason is that it's time for Mitzvah Eh. I'm doing Mitzvah right now. My mom said, if you don't take out the garbage right this second, you're not fulfilling the Mitzvah. So I can't daven mincha because now it's time for kibud avim. It's not time for mincha because it's time for kibud avim. However, we just explained that the number one time when it's time for learning that is basically once you were yotze, the bare minimum of kriyas shma shachris va'arvis, everything else in the day, you're only chayav to learn when you have the free time to do so. So when you're obligated to do a mitzvah, that's not called having free time. And memela, you have no chiyuv to learn during that time. So that's why we don't say osik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah when it comes to Talmud Torah. So you could say, well, I'm in the middle of learning. I can't help, you know, I can't, there's a, whatever it is, I don't know, there's a mace mitzvah outside. I can't deal with it. So if someone else can deal with it, then it's not considered my obligation, so it's still considered as if I'm having free time. So I have free time, I can learn. But if it's no one else going to take care of it, then I have to take care of it. I, what about learning? It's not time to learn now. This has a bunch of nafkaminas we're not going to get into right now yet, but what? You were learning before you said Kriya Shema? Well, you still have an obligation to say Kriya Shema because it's a separate thiya as well.
No, I know, but like, I still didn't fulfill my
fiya. Yeah, you were still yotze, meaning it's not dafka Kriya Shema. It's saying that if you really learn nothing, so you're yotze with Kriya Shema. But obviously, if you learned something, you know, you learned daf yomi before Kriya Shema, so then you definitely yotze with that. That's better than Kriya Shema.
So let's say I'm starting to learn right now. I guess starting to, like, if I, like, wake up in the morning, like,
right.
There's another mitzvah that happened, but I'm not.
And no one else is going to do it?
Well, no, even if someone else.
No, anytime someone else can do the mitzvah, you don't have to do it. Meaning for Talmud Torah, you don't have to do it. It's still considered your free time at that point. So it's only when the obligation is clearly upon you. No one else is going to put on tefillin for you. No one else is going to daven for you. No one else is going to help your parents for you. You know, your mom says, I definitely want you to do it. But can't my brother do it? No, I want you to do it. I like making you do things. Right? So, that's what I tell my kids. In those cases, no one else can take care of it. It's not considered your free time. All right, there's a lot more to say on this, and I just figured we'd scratch the surface a little bit on this concept.